If you have your Bibles, you should have. But if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 57. Isaiah, chapter 57. One of the most cross-referenced books mentioned in the New Testament as well. But in Isaiah, here in the Old Testament, we want to deal with a few scriptures. Isaiah, chapter 57. Verse 19, we're going to deal with the believer's rest tonight. I don't know if you rested last night or not. If you did, I'm glad you did. We're talking about a different kind here, spiritual rest, but amen. Isaiah 57, verse 19, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord. I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Father, I thank you for your word today, God, and I praise you, Lord. I thank you for your presence, your Holy Spirit that's here. I pray you to anoint your servant to speak the words you want spoken, and you to open our hearts and help us to hear and receive, God, that which will instruct us in the way of the truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. The believer's rest. Here in the book of Isaiah, we find that in the time that they lived, they were on the brink of Babylonian captivity. They would go off into Babylonian captivity for 70 years, and they wouldn't have rest there because they would be in captive to their enemies. But They could have rest, and here the prophet prophesies of a time of rest that would come to them and said there wouldn't be any rest for the wicked. But we see our nation today politically, it's not at rest. Spiritually and in behavior, our nation is not at rest. And I'm not here to give a political speech, but I am to say that God, it affects everyone, even the nation. The word of God does, and your testimony does. And the world isn't at rest, and we could say it's not at rest because of the COVID-19 plague. But really, the world is not at rest because of the plague of sin. And the truth is, that plague cannot be fixed by humanity. It takes deity, it takes God to fix the sin problem. And true rest has to have a divine source, and that divine source is God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And true rest spiritually, and for you to have peace of mind and to have calmness in your spirit, it cannot be fixed by human means. It takes an act of God, an act that God is willing to do. Praise the Lord. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us we can have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We don't have to understand God, everything about Him you want, because He's eternal and He's unlimited in everything, and we're limited in all things. Amen. Thought we needed to know that. But God is never unlimited, and God can do what no one else can do. For true rest is powerful. And you can have rest knowing that your soul is right with God, that you're headed toward heaven, that your sins have been forgiven. Amen. And so you can have that kind of rest. But people don't rest on a lot of things. I remember one night, just my mother was kind of a fearful type person. And if it thundered, she thought there was a storm coming. It might be the rapture of the church. And it might be a tornado, and it might blow us all away. So me and the kid, or her and her kids, would all have to go to the cellar, storm shelter. You may want to call it that. But my dad never was scared about it. So one night it was very stormy, and so she took all of us kids, and we went down to the cellar. And my dad just didn't ever bother him. He just stayed in bed because he wasn't a fearful person. He knew how mother was. They were married 72 years, so they knew how each other was. And truth is, there a little twister did come through our place that night, and it took the top off the barn, and there was a chinaberry tree right next to the window where my mother and dad's bedroom was, and it pulled that tree up by the roots and laid it down, went on down and took the top of the barn off. Dad never woke up. He got up the next morning. What happened? I guess he had true rest. Man. But there are sudden things that happen in our life that threaten our spiritual rest with God. But yet God is never surprised at what happens. Amen. And he intends to give us rest. So let's look at the believer's rest today. First of all, the believer's rest, what it isn't. The believer's rest isn't something that people can do. A rest in the natural is not something that people can do without. It's a must. Your body was created for rest. And just not on Sunday morning. But God didn't lead you to the land of Nod. Anyway, okay. But God also intended a person to be at rest emotionally and spiritually. And what is it? Rest is this. It is peace and perfect peace, amen, that God gives. And Isaiah 26:3 says that we can have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Or I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. And primarily peace is, or rest is, the cessation of troubles now. And now in that time that they lived afflicting the Jews, as they would be under Babylonian exiles, and they couldn't think of anything, they couldn't think of peace about anything, is that they were headed for captivity. But peace is a calmness in knowing threats have been dismantled. And so I'm glad that through Christ in the New Testament, threats have been taken away or dismantled. Amen. Yes, we deal with the everyday threats of life. And my friend, you should drive the speed limit and you should pay attention to the laws here. And yes, we should be careful. But really, truly, God is in control and in charge of our lives. Praise the Lord. And Jesus said in his day, they were under Roman rule. And yes, it was not pleasant. And the Romans were cruel people. They were mean people. But yet they had some sort of peace in the government there because of Roman rule. They had laws they had to go by and all that. But they didn't have peace in their heart because Israel has never been at peace if she was captive to some other nation. And there will be a day when she's not. And she's not today. Praise the Lord. But Jesus said to them, and he says to us today, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My friend, there's every reason to be troubled and be afraid today, but there's always been. But we don't have to be. Our hope and our love and our life is not built upon what the world can produce or what society can do or what government can do. Our hope is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice at the cross, his resurrection from the dead, his soon return in the clouds of glory. Our faith is built upon something that's real and true and powerful and mighty and able to lift us above whatever threats may come our way. You can have rest in him. Even at the cross, Jesus bore our sins, but he was there for our peace. He was chastised for our peace. And with his stripes we were healed. Ephesians 2:17 says, he came, Jesus came and preached peace to you who were afar off and those who were near. And in Paul's writings here in Ephesians, he was talking about Jew and Gentiles. Because the Jews were closer to God. They knew they had the Ten Commandments. They had the Word of God. They had the first five books of your Bible. And then they didn't always live by them, but they had that. And whereas the Gentiles really didn't have anything, they just had in their conscience and in their mind, they knew there was a God. But Jesus came and preached peace, rest, to those that were afar off, Gentile, and to those that were near, Jews, and all people. Praise God. And so we find our world today is at unrest. And let's think about unrest for a minute. I intend for you to rest before this is over with. Okay. Causes of unrest. Sinful behavior does not promote peace. It promotes unrest. And when Babylon would take over Judah and Jerusalem, it wouldn't be restful for the people of Israel. It would mean slavery. It would mean they were controlled by another nation. And so it would be a time of unrest. And God speaks to the nation of Israel through this. And another cause of unrest is partaking of what God has forbidden. And I want to go back to Genesis, if we may, to talk about this. Because when Adam and Eve partook of what God had forbidden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they weren't at rest anymore. I'll tell you something. Adam and Eve did not have a sin nature until they entered disobedience to God. And then they acquired the sin nature, and that would be passed down through all humanity. And so they knew what it was to be at peace with God. They knew how to talk to God. And as plainly as you and I would talk to a friend. But when they partook of the forbidden fruit, when they entered a place where they had been forbidden to go, what God had told them not to do, and they partook of the forbidden fruit, they became aware of many things. We find the first awareness of wanting to hide from God. The Bible says they hid themselves among the trees of the garden. And they covered themselves with fig leaves. For the first time in their lives, they knew that they were naked. Some people need to learn that today, don't they? Okay, I'll move on here. Okay. And they became aware of their nakedness, but not only their physical nakedness, but no, their nakedness spiritually. They weren't prepared to face God. They weren't covered spiritually either. And they were afraid to face God, and for the first time, guilt moved in. And they felt guilty because they had disobeyed God. And they were like the troubled sea on the inside, that they could not rest because they knew they had broken God's commandment. And so they were spiritually not at rest. They were like the troubled sea that cast up mire and dirt. And they didn't have peace for once. And up to that time, they had perfect peace with God. You know, it must have been wonderful for Adam and Eve just to talk to God in the cool of the day and just talk to God. God, you know, what's going on? Where are you taking us? Where are you leading us, God? I mean, there was nothing that would separate their communication with God whatsoever. And all of a sudden, this one breaking one commandment, they couldn't talk to God peacefully anymore. They felt threatened by God. And God did not threaten them, but God did tell them that the consequences of their sin is that they would die. And on their first disobedience, they died immediately spiritually in their relationship with God, and they began to die physically. It took Adam about 900 years or so to die physically, but he died in his relationship with God, and that was the greatest loss that could ever be. And so they were not at rest. But let's look at national unrest for just a moment, if we may. Our nation today is not at rest. It is filled with confusion. It is filled with evil. And what our nation has done, it has demonstrated that they're not at rest spiritually. They try to demonstrate everything else, but they've demonstrated they're not at rest with God. They're not right with God. And I don't care how many marches you have and how many things you do and how many things you say and what kind of a word you come up with, when a person is not at rest spiritually, they're never going to be at rest at any place in their life. They've got to have a relationship with God. And so, it's like the troubled sea. The sea is never at rest. The waves of the sea are never still. And there's always storms somewhere on the ocean. There's always winds to stir up waters and to cast up mire and dirt, and nothing pure that one or you and I would partake of. And so, well, the sea here. I don't remember years ago, I heard Jerry Clower. Poor guy. He had never seen the ocean, and one of his sons took him down to see the ocean. He looked out across, and he said, just for miles, you can see nothing but water. And so he asked his dad, he says, what do you think about the sea, Dad? He said, I just always thought it'd be bigger than this. But in the natural, the sea is never at rest. It's always got life in it, that's true, but things can happen on the sea. It can sink ships. It can take lives. It can cause you to get eaten by sharks. I want to tell you something. The sea is never at rest in the natural sense, but the sea of life is never at rest either. It's always searching for something. It's searching for God. It can never have peace without God. And the believer, my friend, is never at rest when something in your life competes for your faith in Christ. And there's many things that compete for your faith. And we read Old Testament scriptures and how that they yielded to idolatry. And we think, well, how could they worship something else or somebody else? How could they do that? Or how could they worship this, that, or the other, this behavior, that behavior? And you say, I'm glad we don't have that problem today. But I want to tell you, we do have that problem today. There's many, because idolatry is whatever you put in the place of God. Whatever you put before God or in the place of God becomes your God. And you're guilty of breaking the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And so when people do that today, but it didn't have to be that way. Praise the Lord, I'm thankful there's release from that. And so that we believe in one true God, that we worship Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so the believer is never at rest if there's something that's competing for your faith. I'm not talking just about church attendance. Something's competing for your faith, willing, ready to take over your life, where you'll no longer believe the gospel, where you'll no longer be on your way to heaven, where you'll no longer fear or reverence God, where you think somehow or another man's going to rise to the place where he's in control and he's God himself. It'll never happen, my friend. God alone is God. Amen. Here we find in Jesus' day, they had problems there as well. Jesus didn't, but the people he was preaching to did. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, we find there that the Pharisees had laid so many legalistic rules upon the people that the people couldn't live up to the expectations of the religious crowd. They still can't today. The Pharisees' legalisms, you could only drink so much water. You could only go walk so far. You could only do this, do that, especially on the Sabbath day. You couldn't eat on the Sabbath day. That'd mess us up in a few minutes here, wouldn't it? Anyway, they couldn't do anything that was needful on the Sabbath day. And they had many rules that they had made. And what they had done, the Pharisees had taken God's law and God's word and added to and taken away from it. And that's forbidden by the scriptures that they knew. But they added what they wanted to add, took away what they wanted to take away. People do that today. But yet, they were not at rest because of the legalisms, self-man-made rules for righteousness. In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus speaks some of the most comforting words to people. And the people were tired and they were weary of all these things. And they were assured that they were going to go to hell if their garment didn't drag the ground or something, it was that legalistic. Man, aren't any dragging the ground today. Anyway, when I was in college, the maxi skirts were in, is that the way? Anyway, they went all the way to the floor. And we used to kid girls and say, can we borrow your dress? We want to set up a tent revival. Well, you see, we still graduated and left. Amen. But here, the Pharisees' legalisms were unreal. And they made rules they couldn't live by themselves, but expected everybody else to. And Jesus speaks to this crowd, and they were so not at rest. But Jesus speaks to a crowd, and he says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Here was the Son of God speaking to humanity. They didn't have rest. They didn't think they could ever be good enough to go to heaven. And they were right. They couldn't. They needed the righteousness of Christ. But Jesus said, I will give you rest. Let me tell you something this day, friend. If you've got Christ in your heart and you're headed toward living for God and you're walking with God, that is the rest. You're at rest with your soul. You're on your way to heaven, my friend. You need to love God. You need to shout and praise the Lord and exalt Him because He's given you spiritual rest. Now, if you're claiming to be a Christian, you're living like the devil on the outside, you're not going to have any rest. But if you're walking with God and living for God, He's going to give you rest. And He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Whereas the Pharisees' yoke was heavy and never light. Okay? Let's move on here. The world is not at rest. I speak of the world system. And the world system of sin is never at rest. The world has never been completely at rest. The world has never been absent of bloodshed, war, and cruelty. And it's not today. Just for one statistic, When World War II, it's believed that 291,557 people lost their lives fighting for freedom. Not at rest. And it goes on. World War II's many souls. Vietnam War. The Korean War. We can go on. That's just in the United States. Not all the wars that have gone on in other countries. We're not the only country that's ever fought against anything. It's as old as the Bible. Old as humanity. Amen. So the world is not at rest. War, rumor, and rumor of war is the history of the world. You know, I hear people say all the time, you know, when they hear about a conflict or a skirmish here and there, they say, you well know the Bible says in the last days there will be wars and rumors of wars. So Jesus is about to come. Well, I believe he is about to come, but I believe there's wars everywhere. I believe the wars, there are many wars that we're seeing here in the United States among factions and people within our own country here. That could be wars and rumors of wars. Man. And so the world is never at rest completely. It's like the troubled sea that just never quits moving. It's never at rest. And so wickedness can never rest. In our text there, in verse 20 it says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. And wickedness can never rest because there's a certainty in mankind that there's got to be a payment somewhere. And guilt cannot be passed over. And guilt is a hard thing to deal with. I know it. You know it if you've ever been lost, and you have been, so you know what guilt is. And guilt's a hard thing to get rid of. The past failures that you've made, the things that you wish you had done when you were younger, the way you wish you had treated people when you were younger, and the guilt comes upon you and you think, you know, I wish I could get rid of this guilt. Well, you can, because on the cross, Jesus bore our guilt and our shame. He bore everything that you can bear, that sin put upon humanity. He bore the guilt and the shame of every sin that you've ever committed. My friend, he wants to lift that guilt from you because he took your guilt for you on the cross. Our part is we have to return to him and confess and repent and say, God, would you take this from me? I believe what you did on the cross was for me. Hallelujah. So God has put in mankind the certainty that God requires a reckoning day. It will happen. Everyone will stand before God. Everyone will give an account for their lives. You won't have anybody to take up for you. But if God sees you through the blood and the righteousness of his Son, Jesus, he will cause you to enter heaven and say, you've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you rule over many. Amen. In the book of Psalms, chapter 9, verse 15. I know this morning it was in this Bible. There it is. The nation is not at rest. 9:15. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made, in the net which they hid, their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes, and the wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Meditation. Verse 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. That's a powerful verse. And I know that we always hear, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Yes, he will. But the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. If there's no repentance and no reconciliation with God, you know all that's left is hell. Man. That's strong, but that's what the Bible says. And so the world is not at rest, but you and I can be at rest because of what Christ did on the cross for us. And last of all, let's look at the effects of no rest. The effects of no rest is the absence of peace. My friend, there's all kinds of pills that they'll sell, you know, that's supposedly to calm you down. You know, they give you an upper to get you up in the morning, a downer to get you down in the evening. And some pill, I'm sure, they have that'll cause you to be okay at midnight. But there are all kinds of things that people have invented. I recommend, personally recommend the gospel. It'll do you more good than any. But there can be no peace when sinful behavior is encouraged. And we've seen that. We've seen sinful behavior throughout our own country. It's worse in some countries than others. And it's really bad in countries where there's no fear of God taught there and no gospel preached there. And so, effects of no rest, you know, that's a reason for law enforcement when people disturb the peace. Man. And we put people in full-time duty because there are people that will disturb the peace just for the sake of disturbing the peace. And there's people that they're bent on causing and stirring up trouble when there's not a reason to stir up trouble, if there ever is. And yet, the only answer to that is Christ and the cross and the blood and humbling oneself before God. Amen. And so true rest has to come from God. He's the only source. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him who is far off, to him who is near, and him who is far off, says the Lord. And you know, when you can become a believer, we can offer no more sacrifice from sin. But it says, let us offer up sacrifices of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God. Amen. So when we're at rest with God, we can worship him. We can praise him. Hallelujah. And so the verdict here on Judah, the nation that we're talking about here in Isaiah, they had to pay for their spiritual infidelity. They had committed spiritual adultery. And that they served other gods in place of the one true God. And God considered that spiritual adultery. And so the guilty verdict had been established on them. And where they would go, there would be no peace. Only they could have peace if they would get right with God. And they could repent and they could turn to God. And they did. And would be drawn back to their place that they needed to be 70 years later. But I want to focus last of all here is on a coming day of rest. Rest comes when sin is dealt with personally, but one day God will deal with it globally. And I'm looking forward to that day. And God's word, according to God's word, guilt, wickedness rest upon all humanity. You know, it's real simple. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We never measure up in our own effort. It takes something God can do. And Paul tells us in Romans that the whole world is guilty before God. It takes salvation. It takes Christ coming into the heart of each person individually in order for them to be right with God. But they can be by faith. And so there's a coming a day of rest. Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the more perfect day. There's coming a day of perfect rest, and heaven will be perfect rest. Praise the Lord. And we're not just that we live down here and always dreaming about heaven. Amen. Friend, I'm always glad that there's a better day coming. There's a better time coming. There's a coming a day, my friend, that we'll be in heaven where there is perfect rest with God, where there'll be no sickness, no sin, no pain, nor death, no guilt, no shame, no sin. My friend, there's a better time coming, and we're in the path of the just. It's just like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into the more perfect day. As we go on and live for God and continue to live for God, it just becomes brighter and brighter and brighter until we're finally there. Praise the Lord, and we will be there. Hallelujah. Heaven is perfect rest. The thought of no more terrorism, no more violent behavior, no more death, no more pains, no more sounds, no more sorrowful sounds, no more weeping, no more wailing. I want to tell you, friend, it will be wonderful there. And a truth, it will be reality. It will be greater than the human mind can conceive. But the path of the just, as we near the Lord's return, and I believe we are nearing, this path just becomes brighter and brighter as we head for the perfect eternal day. No more dread, fear of what might happen, but we can be confident of what God has done in us. One of the great promises of Scripture, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will see it to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. What God has started in you, he's not going to quit. You have the choice, and you can quit if you want to. If heaven don't look good enough for you, God bless you, God help you. But God never intended for you to start this race and quit. Being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you, when he saved you from your sins, he will see it to completion. He will help you walk this walk and live this Christian life until you enter heaven. My friend, there will be no regrets there. And there will be perfect rest in heaven. Rest from all the troubles and things that sin brings to this present world. It doesn't mean that in heaven you just sit down and do nothing. No, God has eternal purposes for you and I far above what we can imagine. We don't know what God's done in all eternity past to prepare us for eternity future. But I trust him. Whatever God does is going to be good. It's not going to be evil. It's not going to have sin in it. It's going to be good. It's going to be wonderful. Probably there's not human words to describe how great it will be. Amen. You can make it, my friend. You can live for it, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You serve God. You live for God. You walk with him. And you'll be at rest in your heart and your mind spiritually. And God can give you rest, no doubt, spiritually. And also he can give you less rest physically. Praise the Lord. He expects you to do something about it, but he can do that. Amen. So the believer is at rest with God. Amen.